Thank you very much, Tim. My name is Liz Dowler, and although I'm in the sociology department, in fact, my first degree is in natural sciences from Cambridge, and my second and third degrees are within a medical faculty. So I embody the multidisciplinary approach you need to think about food. But I want to say first two things before I start my 10 minutes, which is I'm very pleased to see so many people here today. This is fantastic, and I hope you get a chance to greet each other and not just look up to the platform up here, because that's really what this is about. My second point is slightly more formal, which is to say that I'm a member of the UCU, and this meeting probably falls within the definition of our worked contract, which is to do something additional and voluntary. Nevertheless, because I believe very passionately that food is a multidisciplinary issue, and I wanted to be here to contribute to the social science issues this evening, I have come, and that may be true for many of you, so welcome. Okay, the success and the problematics of the food security, of the food system. That's what I'm going to cover in my 10 minutes. And the good news is we have more people fed than any other time in the world. By and large, food is relatively cheap, and it's safe, widely available, and possibly contributes to health globally. But there are lots of bad things about the food system, which will be familiar to many people sitting in this room. There are harsh terms of trades for suppliers, a lot of production's lost, and some people would argue the amount of production that goes to animals is also part of that loss. The labour law in food is pretty bad in its implementation. People who work in the food sector are often very badly treated, badly paid. Many of them are women. They're often increasingly de-skilled. We still have 1 billion hungry and malnourished in the world, and we have growing numbers who are obese, possibly similar numbers to those who are malnourished. We know that things such as type 2 diabetes are rising around the world, and that for that food plays quite an important part. And the environmental costs of the food system are going up, biodiversity is going down, and there's a massive loss of skills, not just in Britain, many parts of the world. You hear the lament, the average age of the farmer is 59. Well, so what are we aiming at in food security? Here's a definition from a familiar organisation, United Nations Food and Agriculture Organisation. And it's a situation which exists when all people at all times have physical, social and economic access to sufficient, safe and nutritious food that meets their dietary needs and food preferences for an active and healthy life. Yay! Everybody says yes to that. And the question is, how on earth do we get there? What's more, we have increasing problems. We have a global demand for food that's going to double over the next 50 years, possibly shorter than that. And agriculture, as many national and international reports keep making clear, has to keep pace, both because agriculture is a major source of livelihood and economic development, and because of its product, food. It has to do this in such a way that food is safe, that it meets the needs for public health, that it's sustainably produced, and that it's both environmentally and socially. So there are many productions, many problems. However, there are other elements of food security. Perhaps this is the real crunch, and this is where Warwick has a lot to offer. Clearly, there's a lot of issues in production, and you're going to hear more about that in a minute, so I don't want to say too much more. There are very important issues about power. Who has control over seeds, over land access, over water security, over who makes decisions about pollution? One of the things that I'm involved in, I'm going to tell you this along the way because I was asked to speak, I should have said that right at the beginning, I was asked to explain about food security, which is why I went first. One of the things I'm involved in is an NGO called the Food Ethics Council, and we produced a report which you can see illustrated here called Food Justice. I've got a copy here, it's also on the web, you can have a look at it. And of course there's a lot of protest around food, not just at the WTO as in this picture, but also, for instance, as one of the trigger points for the Arab Spring. So power's pretty important. So are perceptions. Do people feel secure about their food? Mostly, it seems, they have mixed feelings. Some recent work I did with Rosemary and Moya Nivsi, who may be here this evening from Coventry, We went and talked to a lot of people in different parts of Britain about what they understood of this term, food security, because DEFRA, the Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, has been working on food security for the last 2 or 3 years. And most people had never heard the term. And when you asked them, well, what do you think it means? They said, nobody's tampered with your food, that it's safe in that sense. And that's not such a surprising thing for people to say. Or they said, you can trust the labels. So food security at some level is about trust, who you trust to get things right. But when we said, well, FAO and DEFRA say it's about access, availability, affordability, everybody says, yeah, we recognize those words. And what we're really worried about is rising food prices. How on earth are we going to go on feeding our families when food prices are going through the roof? This graph on the right is a very well-known graph from FAO looking at the rising food commodity indicators in the last few years, and that's translated through into almost every country. And one of the real challenges in that, of course, is that food prices are actually not going to come down, not significantly, whatever retailers do about it. In that they are as low as they are, that is on the back of, as I said, workers in many parts of the world, or possibly on the back of the environment, environmental cost. So the fact that we have relatively cheap food in Britain, albeit rising prices, is at a cost to the environment and to social structures and people in other parts of the world. And that's been known for some time, and people are starting to work on it much more here within Britain. But of course, it's in government interest, not just our government in Britain, but governments all over the world, to keep food costs, food prices down, because they affect wages. And so that's a real conundrum. How are we going to feed the world fairly in every sense in the future? There's a bit of a paradigm shift going on within the sciences, perhaps, away from a high-tech answer, science knows all, to what is clearly embodied here on the platform, which is a more agroecological, diverse approach. And I've shown up here one of the many reports produced in the last few years. It's got a pretty unpronounceable, unimaginative acronym, ISTAD, the International Assessment for the Contribution of Agriculture, Science and Technology for Development. I told you it rolled off the tongue. And that really coined this phrase, business as usual is not an option. We have to move to a different kind of food system. And the person who chaired that report and wrote it, is Bob Watson, Professor Bob Watson, who is currently the chief scientist at DEFRA, and with whom we have quite good relationships. Okay, so in my last 30 seconds then, just to wrap up, I've given you a bit of an overview of the problematics as well as some of the good news. And just to flesh out again what I've also hinted at as I've gone along, three of the things where I've been involved myself most recently and what I'm doing in the future. I think one really key question is how to enable the poorest, or sometimes even the not so poor, to eat fairly, sustainably, and well, here in the UK, here in Europe, and in the world. And the answer is not more food banks, which is where you have a charitable handout. And secondly, what are the state responsibilities in this? How do issues of social justice and rights to food get onto the agenda in different states? The Food and Agriculture Organization has a big unit now working on the rights to food. There is a UN special rapporteur who works on the right to food, and I've contributed to a forthcoming paper he's doing on the right to adequate nutrition. And then thirdly, something I've not really talked about very much, but which Tim referred to in his introduction, we need to reconnect people with food. One of the great complaints is that people are disconnected from the food system. We all think, I don't think this audience does, but many people think food just comes from supermarkets and don't sort of think about, well, how does it get there? And what are the issues about it being there? This is not an anti-supermarket rant. But there's been a lot of work done in Europe and particularly in the United States and Canada about moves to reconnect. And these are now linking up with movements in the global south, where people are starting to think about and put into practice different ways of securing their food, building local capabilities to produce and to process and maybe to market food. Not all the food people need, but more of it. And I'm going to hand over to Rosemary, who's going to pick up, perhaps, where I leave off.